Now, reading this morning is from Matthew 7, beginning at verse 15, and we read to the end of the chapter. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and it's the last chapter of the sermon, 5, 6, and 7. In the early part of 7, he talks about judging others wrongly, and then also asking, and God would give, and how to live doing unto others as you would have them do to you. It says the golden rule. It's actually the love rule of God that we quoted earlier. And then at verse 15, we take up the reading. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribe. This is the word of the Lord, and we better listen. And I better watch what I say. Are you really reformed? That's the question this morning. Are you really reformed? When you hear that question, maybe what's the first thought that comes to your mind if you're older? I'm not going to open this up and have everybody ask me questions. No, don't worry about that. But you're thinking, aren't you? What's the first thing you think about? And October was really my favorite month for preaching, and can you believe it? I haven't preached all month. And I look at your faces and you wonder, oh boy, now what are we going to get? Well, fortunately for you, my throat isn't that good either. So, you know, I have to save a little for tonight. But the first thing I would think about is the grace of God, the sovereignty of God, that we are saved not by our works. You heard that now, didn't you? Because I'm going to be talking about works this morning. Not by our works, but by faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, because God's word alone tells us what it's all about. That's very important, and you know all that already. Are you reformed? Is that how you think? Is that what you believe? Thank God for the Reformation of the 16th century. Thank God that these glorious truths of our salvation, God's grace, God's sovereignty, and how it isn't by what we do, but it is totally the work of Christ for us. which we must believe and accept. But this morning, we must go a little farther, and God says to us, there's more to being truly reformed than teaching and doctrine. I have a son-in-law who's very handy, very handy. He can do all the things that ministers don't do. Some ministers, I'd have to be careful. And I asked him once, I said, Matt, how in the world do you know all that? Or my wife asked him, and he said, I just read the instructions. I follow the instructions. Yeah. I should be able to do it, shouldn't I? But I guess I'm not wanting to do it enough. Right? I should be able. Read the instructions. And how is that sometimes with us? We know what it means to believe the Reformation truths. We know what they are. But how do we live them? Wonderful instruction in God's Word in Romans 12. That beautiful beginning, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. And then, what does it say? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Transformed. You'd let me put reformed in there, wouldn't you? That's what it is to be reformed, so you may prove what? What is God's will? His pleasing, good, acceptable, perfect will. And then our text this morning, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I'm not preaching salvation by works. I said it twice or three times already. So don't get that out of your mind. But God's gracious salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, which the Scriptures talk about alone, for the glory of God alone, does work. We live in changing times. Something new, always. The world is always looking for something new. And things change so rapidly, I don't like it. There comes times when you get my age, you say to your wife, you know, I think, Mom, we're getting too old for this world. I think maybe we just got to die off and let the next generation take over. Why? Why? Because you buy the phone or the camera or whatever and it breaks and it's the highest technology in the world. And then what happens? You go to get it fixed and they tell you, you might as well throw it away and buy a new one. Things have changed so rapidly. I always try to buy the latest, you know. But then tomorrow it's already out of date. Spend a lot of money buying the latest. Boy, if I had all that money now, what would I do? I don't know. Forget that part. But anyway, I'm always behind. I always need to get the newest gadget because the other one's old. You can't fix that camera. You can't keep up. Well, how does that work in religion, faith, and morals? The New Age religion, which is old age already. And when I bring it up to you, you think, what? New Age religion? Who knows about New Age religion? Anybody still know about that? No, not too many even know about that. But that's old too already. It's really a Unitarian hodgepodge in which God is all and all is in God. It's kind of pantheistic force or energy. You have to believe that we're lost in ourselves, the lower selves, and through meditation or mysticism, we must seek to be closer aligned to that force or energy, the higher consciousness. Where does that religion get you? Look at our morals. What kind of morals do we have, or lack of them? You go to the theater and you will see, or you read the magazines, the books, you look on the street. Homosexuality is flaunted as good. And we all say, oh, that's bad. Yeah, but then pretty soon, right close by, we have live-in extramarital relationships. People don't get married anymore. They just live like they're married. And you can continue or discontinue these relationships as you please. And then there's false prophets, proclaimers of Christ, who are more interested in fleecing the sheep than feeding the flock. To the point that even secular courts find them guilty of crime. And you can say what you will. Oh, I disagree with all that, of course. But they have a way of influencing us. We have our traditional ways, our family ways, or personal ways of doing things, and we judge others by what we think is right in my family, or my person, or my church even, according to our standards, which have changed and are changing. Someone put it this way, an imperfect conscience needs a perfect guide. In these changing times, there is one person who does not change. There is one thing that does not change. And so week after week, day after day, Bible study after Bible study, we come and we look to God and we look to His Word. What does the Lord have to say? How can our thoughts be enlightened and our hearts renewed? By God's Word. God and God's unchanging Word. We are to be reformed. We go back to the Bible. Thankfully, the Bible is authoritative. God has the first and last word and every word in between. And God's word is true, though every man is a liar. And there is no conflict here between the old and the new. The conflict is between the false and the true. New heresies and false lifestyles that are around today are not new. They're just old heresies, old lifestyles, revisited in different clothes or a different form. What happened every time Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? What did he say every time? Have you not read, Satan would say to him? Yes, but you twist God's word. And so Jesus would say, it is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. All Scripture is God-breathed, we read in Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3. It's breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now listen to this. That the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Did you notice again? Doctrine, teaching, correction, reproof, for what? To sit in the bench and twiddle my thumbs? Or to sit in a study and study the message for a sermon? No. To go out and to live what God says in His Word. The Word of God is authoritative. It's necessary The Bible tells it like it is and like it should be. It is written, you shall not test the Lord your God. It is written, you shall not live by bread alone. Oh, how we need to hear that today. Jesus, the Word of God incarnate, reveals, I am the resurrection and the life. And again, the Scriptures speak of eternal life. Jesus being the one and only way, only by faith in Him do we have life. Did you notice how many times I used only already? Only by faith. Only Jesus. Only the truth is found in God's Word. 1 John 5, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Some time ago I read a story of a lady who professed her faith in Christ and then she neglected her Bible. She didn't read it anymore. She forsook going to church. She didn't go to church anymore. Didn't go to any Bible studies. And before long, some people came to her on the street. I was in Korea. Can you believe this? I'm walking down the street in Korea, very civilized country. Two ladies just walk right up to me and start. They wanted to talk to me about about God being the mother of Jesus. So maybe you know something about this cult. I didn't know anything about it. These people were so nice. These ladies were so nice. I thought, where in the world in the United States would a couple ladies just walk up to a guy and start talking, you know, about God being the mother of Jesus? And it was all about the motherhood of God. And they were so nice, so nice. And then they had an interesting Bible. It wasn't a Bible. It was a book that they had learned at their house or wherever. And it had all the verses that they needed. And I said, well, why don't you let me see that book? No, there was no John 1, you know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No, they had all their secret little verses to show the motherhood of God. But they didn't have the whole truth. Well, this lady got into that kind of a business. And thankfully, she got taken to church one day by another believer. And she heard the real truth again. And she was delivered from this kind of cultic activity. And you know what she said afterwards? Now I know the importance of regular attendance in a Bible teaching church and of diligent Bible study and of people who care enough about me to witness to me. Well, this morning I'm not too worried about you and me falling prey to Satanists or some cultic movements, the Jehovah's Witnesses. You have life. By faith, you have life. That's the wonderful news of the Bible rediscovered at the Reformation. But I am concerned about the secularism and the humanism in which we live, the world in which we live. I am concerned when the Bible says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? We need to be reformed. We need to be transform, change, not only in doctrine, but in living. And so thirdly, I want you to notice with me, God's changed lives. How does it work? Are you listening? Are you listening to Jesus? Do you hear Him speak to you, to your head, to your heart, to your life? Where you go, what you do, whom you associate with, what you think, how you're being programmed. And I hate to say that because that sounds like a machine. We're human beings created in the image of God. We're not machines. But I want to tell you, if you watch enough programs, pretty soon you'll be programmed. And you'll even lose your humanity. Wow, that'd be something to talk about coffee time this morning. Can I lose my humanity if I watch enough TV? Yeah, I'll talk about that. I'd like to be there too. We must listen. Listen to God as He speaks to us. And you know what He asked this morning? Do you love me? Do you love me more than your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, yourself, than your pleasures, your friends, your work, your things, your possessions? Do you love my will more than your own? Boy, it's so easy for you and me who hear God's word every Lord's day. I hope we not only hear it in church, but we hear it in family devotions. We hear it in our personal times with the Lord, in Bible study, all kinds of opportunities. Are you listening? Are you heeding? James says, don't just be hearers, be doers. Hearers just deceive themselves. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 21, there's a story of two boys, and father had some work, and he asked the first son, will you go work for me today? And the son said, no, I will not go. And later he went. And then there was the second son. And will you go and work for me in my vineyard today? Oh, yes. And he didn't go. Simple question. Which of the one of them did the will of the Father? And of course we say the first. Well, they both said no. But, you know, in a sense. But the first one. Why did he do the will of his Father? Because he repented. There it is. There it is. That's the secret. And I've preached it for over 40 years. And I'm still going to keep preaching it. He repented. That was the message of John the Baptist. That was the message of Jesus. That's the message of every true prophet of God. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. God has come. In Jesus Christ, there is hope. Repent. Repent and ask for deliverance from sin. What is repentance? It's a change of mind. It's a reformation. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, we ought to really pray more for revival. Yeah, that's right. For revival, that the Spirit of God would work through His Word, and wake us up. To be really reformed, we must repent. Where do you need changing? Maybe in your attitude, when you're indifferent to the things of God. Maybe you hate somebody else. Maybe you're bitter. You're upset with what God has done in your life. If that's what God does, then I don't want anything to do with it. Ugh. Maybe it's a relationship. Love one another. Do that in spite of your differences. What does God command? 1 John 3:23. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in them. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. And now if you're really thinking, you know what I would say to me if I were sitting there? I would say, yeah, but I do that. I want to do God's will. You're almost saying this is works righteousness this morning because I want to do God's will and then I don't do it. Aha. Uh-huh. Do you repent? Do you repent? That's really the secret. There's no secret. That's the revelation. The Spirit works in believers who are reformed and reforming according to God's word so that they seek to do God's will. They want to do God's will, and they don't always do that. But there's always hope. They come back. They have a change of mind and heart, and every time they put themselves at God's feet and they repent. So many things we could talk about. Priorities. We put God first, His day, His work, His service. So many things to do. Do you say, "Yes, Lord, I'll serve you," and then go your own way? Or have you said, "No, Lord, I will not," and now you are sorry and you repent? You want to change. You see, to be reformed according to the Bible is the most important thing. To be changed in heart, in life, and to acknowledge that this is absolutely necessary to enter the kingdom of God. In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6, these words: "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." Boy, oh boy. There you got it again. "Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Thought just went through my head. Like Father, so Son. Like Mother, so Daughter. No, it's different than that, isn't it? Don't compare yourself to another human being. So Jesus, that is the way I want to go. That's the way I want to live. That's what I want to do. In chapter 7, we read these words: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" I really kind of like the way the NIV has it there. "You evil doers." Who was Jesus saying this to? He was saying this to believers. He was saying this to people who went to church. "You evil doers." Are you really reformed and being reformed according to God's word by His Spirit? You know what the most important question really is? Are you really saved? That's right. Are you really saved? Not just in your head, but in your heart and in your life, in what you say, in what you do, in what you want, in how you confess, "Lord, I have sinned. Please take me back." And He does, and He will, always. For Jesus' sake. Amen. O God, the God that saveth me, remove my guilty stains, and I will sing Thy righteousness in grateful, joyous strains. Thank you, Lord God, for your love in Jesus Christ, for speaking to us so directly out of love this morning from your word. And may we, O God, by your grace, come back again and again and be truly reformed in teaching, in doctrine, and in life. For Jesus' sake, amen.